well-pleasing to God. That's what you all want to be, right? There is one, I feel, mistranslation, or it's not a mistranslation necessarily, but the word acceptable is usually used in the King James Version and most other versions. Acceptable to God. What does acceptable mean in the English language? It'll do. We'll take it. It gets by. And euaesthes is the Greek word, and it means well-pleasing. It makes our Father's day. I'm speaking of, euaesthes is usually used where acceptable is utilized. And it doesn't kind of set your heart on fire and make you, after you do your best, to think you got by. Of course, I know none of you are a Christian that wants to just get by. You find it's well-pleasing to Him. And I feel that's an error, and it's done many times in the New Testament as well as the Old. And I think it kind of misinforms us of the emotions of our Father. For there's a great deal of difference to me in acceptable and well-pleasing. I think it's about like so, okay? As far as levels of appreciation on His part. Everyone likes to be well-pleasing, don't they? You know, to someone you really love, of course you do. And your Father wants you to be well-pleasing to Him. And therefore, we're going to take a few scriptures as it's used today, whereby you have a little better look at your Father's emotions. It's important, you know. What are we? We're made in His image, meaning He's like we are, only He's our Father. And He hurts when you mess up, because He loves you. He's proud of you. And when you mess up, I'm sure you've caused tears in His eyes at times. But at the same time, you've caused tears of joy, because He's found you well-pleasing. And you know, He loved you enough that He sent His Son, I don't care what you've done, that when you say, Father, I've messed up, I repent, I want you to forgive me, that is more pleasing than all. And then you're on a clean page. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Ephesians. And we're going to pick our first usage of that word up in this particular chapter, as Paul is teaching here to the Ephesians. And I will call your attention to the to the verse in which euaesthes is utilized. You'll be familiar with it. Let's get the flow of it and see how you feel about the translation. Chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, did it say be followers of God as gurus, know-it-alls? When you should have everything under control. No, it says as little children, and as dear children, rather. That's how He feels toward you. He's your Father, you're His child, He wants you to love Him, okay? And He certainly loves you, too. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. God did that for us. Again, why? He loves us. And how are you to walk again? I'll remind you, as dear children. Dear children are children that listen to the father, the parent, and try to be pleasing. Try to do what? Why? Well, if he's your parent, he's not going to misguide you. And people have a way of getting themselves in terrible trouble by not listening to a parent, especially the parent God. And then you're going to have somebody bail you out. He did on the cross. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, wanting something somebody else has, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, nobody's perfect, but these things do not becometh saints. Do you know what saints are? they're one set aside by God that He's kind of given them a high mark, that they're doing pretty good, all right? They're well pleasing. He said, none of those things please me at all, okay? Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And we should thank our Father for taking care of us. Now, I have known certain pastors and Christians that take this to mean, don't ever tell me one of those funny stories. Now, don't ever go that far. What he's saying is, when there's a time to be serious, when you're correcting people, children, when you're teaching God's Word, then be careful. Don't be one of these people that's just a ratchet jaw foolishness all the time. For even God Himself had a sense of humor. You know? And a lot of people will say to me, well, when did God have a sense of humor? Well, I think a lot of places. I can, one of the ones that always comes to my mind, and maybe this is just the Irish in me, but I think it's funny. We're all, who was it, Ahasuerus? In the book of Daniel, he wanted to have him a party. And he was trying to impress people, so he broke out God's vessels that were stolen from the temple in Jerusalem when he was there in Babylon. And he filled them up with wine over and over and over. And I mean, the party was going good with the sacred vessels from God's house. And God scared him so bad he wet his britches. Now, to me, that's funny. You know, when he showed a hand on the wall that, when I translate it Oki or Arki, it says, buddy, you've had it. Okay? That's basically what he said, you know. And it's that hand all by itself scared the old boy that his loins loosed, okay? I mean, he lost it. I think that's funny. God has a way of dealing with people and has a sense of humor. Why am I saying this? Don't take this never jesting like some people would pass it off. Do all things in moderation. Don't go overkill. Don't go overboard. God has a sense of humor. You should have too. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. And there's a time to tease a little bit and there's a time to be serious, all right? And let that be as it is. 5. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, worships something other than God, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In other words, they're never going to be a part of that kingship as the elect are, or as the saints. They might make it, they might get by, sooner or later, but they're not going to be in the kingship. And the kingdom, the king and his dominion. If you're with him, you're a part of that body, and you participate. All right, verse 6. This is the most severe warning. Listen carefully. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What is it that brings the wrath of God down on children of disobedience? Deceivers and vain words. As to who our Father is, the chronological order of events of His appearing, as He has written in His Word, whereby a child can understand. If you start listening to some yo-yo over here that would convince you or tell you different, when you have this letter that God sent to you, because you're special, He doesn't have anyone else like you. Your DNA is different, your fingerprints are different, and He loves you. And He wrote the letter to you, and you should read it. You know, if you really love somebody and they write you a letter, do you throw it on the shelf and say, we'll just keep deaths and marriages and births in that letter and never read it? I don't think so. Well, He loves you, and He's written this letter to you for your understanding, whereby He can bless you, whereby He can be well pleased with you. So, don't ever be a child of God and listen to a deceiver. Always study God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, unless it's a special topic as we're doing today. Because You want to know how the Word of God flows. That's the letter that's written to you. And some of you have a purpose and a destiny. And he wants to talk to you through the letter he has written. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. That's where you want to separate yourself. That's foolish. And that will, you notice, he didn't say that verse 4 or verse 3 brought down the wrath of God. That's kind of you're on your own time and making your own trouble. But listening to deception and misleading God's children to remove them from the kingdom will bring down the wrath of God. Okay, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. That means you were spiritually blind. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Christ opens your eye. Your eye mirrors the soul. And you are children of light, for Christ is that light. You're not in darkness. You have eternal life. Because why? You believe. Believe in him. Therefore, believe in his word. And let his word strengthen you and correct you. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. How did Christ tell you to take that? What did he say? Well, what kind of fruits he taught? He said, test it. Test the fruit. In other words, most people are intelligent enough, if you go to an apple tree and you reach up there and pick something off of it and it turns out to be a pear, somebody's lying to you. If somebody claims they're doing God's work and you get into it and all of a sudden you find yourself confused, you've been in Babylon. Babel is confusion, all right? And you're going to be confused. But Christ's word is truth. It flows in simplicity. It's written about one man's family and all other people, all other races that came in contact with that man from chapter 1 to the very end of it. It's just about that family. Any child can understand it if they'll simply forget all the traditions of men, of the deceivers, and let God's word flow smooth as honey over the buds of your mind. Verse 10, approving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And there's that word again. There it is. What is acceptable? Proving it. Now, to me, it loses a lot by not being translated in the form that the Greek euartestos means. It means, certainly, that it is well-pleasing to God. Now, let's read it that way. Proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's the topic of this, acceptable. What is acceptable? Well, that doesn't have any... I think it undersells the word from God's mouth considerably. Prove and test by the fruit of the tree what is well-pleasing to God. Well, how do I do that? Well, if God blesses your family, you're doing something right. If you're following him, if you're studying his word, taking his advice, he's going to bless you. What is that? Well, that's good fruit. Euartestos is made up of two words. E in the Greek, EU, means you, is good. Really good. Okay? And estos means it's agreeable, it's fit, and it's pleasing. Really good. So that's what he's talking about here, is proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, he isn't hard to please. Most people think he is, that he's a hard man, that he gets up every morning and says, wonder who I can zap today. No. Do you do that to your children? Wonder which one of them I can whomp today. Well, unless you have some kind of a problem, that isn't the way you operate, nor is it the way he operates. It doesn't please him to have to correct anyone any more than it pleases you to have to correct one of your children. It hurts you usually more than it does the child. But if you love the child, it's got to be done, and the child knows it. And discipline is necessary in Christianity. That's where the word disciple comes from, discipline. So that is well-pleasing to him. Why? You don't want someone to get hurt. You want them to be safe. Well, do you know something? He wants you to be safe, and he doesn't want to see you get hurt. Therefore, the instructions, the proving, the testing that he has laid forth for you in his letter, and it is well-pleasing to him. That's not just getting by. I mean, he has his hand of love upon you. And that's what this was about in the first place. Walk in the love of Christ as dear children. Okay? Love him. Look to him. And in this testing, you make yourself well-pleasing to him. And hey, I don't care if you've committed every one of the sins we read about in this chapter. If you repent, it's gone. Don't tell me about it. Don't tell anybody about it. You repented, God erased it from your name, the book of life. It is gone forever. And he doesn't want to hear about it, and you know something? Nobody else does either. Unless they're just somebody that likes to say, well, you know old Susie. You know? Well, what about Susie? Well, you know Susie, automatically. Or I should say Henry. You know, Henry's have a knack of getting in trouble. Did you hear about old Henry? Do you know what Henry did last week? You want to hear? Well, I don't. So, if anybody thinks they got a relative named Henry or a relative named Susie, I just made those names up, all right? I think they're all right. I don't care what the world says about them, okay? But that's what I mean. Father wants to take pride in you. Why? You're his child. And when you behave properly, it's not just acceptable. That's kind of cold to me. It's well-pleasing. It thrills my soul, thrills my heart, the Father says, when you react that way. And that causes you all the more to want to be pleasing to Almighty God. Why? That's what brings blessings, all right? Not wrath. That brings blessings from him. So I think it's important that you learn that Greek word. And with your Strong's Concordance, you won't have any trouble. Again, as I stated, it's made up of two Greek words, good and pleasing. And it is well-pleasing. There's no way you can get acceptable. Acceptable in the English language, do you know what the definition is? Well, I don't. I do too. I'm teasing, okay? I think it means favorable. Well, do you think favorable reaches well-pleasing? I don't. It means it thrills him when you pass muster. Okay, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means help them. Don't go judge them. Bring it to light to the person if you love them and help them, all right? I'm not saying set yourself up as here come the judge either, you know. Be gentle. Be loving. Be as dear children to God. For verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And of course that goes back to verse 6, the deceiver, the liar concerning God's word. Remember Jesus' first main teaching about this in Mark 13. There will be many come in my name saying, I am from Christ, but they will deceive you. They come claiming to be Christian preachers sometimes even. You want to be careful for him. How do I know? Check them out in his word. That's all you have to do. All right? The word is written to you. You don't necessarily... It doesn't hurt to listen to a man or a woman. But always check them out in the Word of God, whether it's this man or any other person. Check them out, okay? If their word is good, if their work is good, it'll stand the test, okay? You don't have to worry about it. I guarantee you, if you ever hit the public in a mass way, I guarantee you, you'll hear about everything, all right? And you don't have to worry about it. Just do it right, and it will always stand the test. They will not be able to find anything wrong unless they lie about it, and then it doesn't matter. God will crush them, okay? And always does. You can count on it. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved, that's to say, are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Or whatever doth make manifest is light. Truth always wins, okay? And the example is, if you have to go back to kindergarten, go in a dark room, and don't you children try this now. Well, I started to say strike a match, okay, but I'll change it. Turn the light on, just hit the wall switch and turn the light on, and what happens? The darkness is gone. If mama has replaced the light bulb often enough. The room is light, and light will always chase darkness away. And so it is with Christ being the light in your heart. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. As an old pastor that's dealt with everything from evil spirits to what have you dealing with people, do you know the eye does mirror the soul? If someone has an evil spirit, you can tell that by looking in their eyes, okay? And I don't want it, that's a different subject for a different time, and I'm already regretting that I brought that up. But truly, darkness shows through too. That's what I'm saying. So you don't have to worry about it. We have power over it. We can run it. I mean, when they see a true man or woman of God coming, they're leaving at high port. Do you know what high port means? That means shoving off. They're gone. They're out of here. They're not aiming at anything. They're not taking time to aim. They're just gone. All right, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, that means spiritually, and arise from the dead, spiritual dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If you ask for it, you're going to get it. You're going to get truth. He's going to give you understanding. You know what? Then people can see that in you. Why? Because of the eye mirroring the soul. If they get in trouble, do you know who they're going to come to for advice? They can sense someone that God has his hand on them. Isn't that just natural? Why? They test fruit just naturally. They know when someone is solid. They're not going to go to a mess up to ask advice, okay? They're going to come to somebody that's live, is fairly well on an even balance, and even if it does get a little messed up, the person doesn't let them see them sweat on their first cruise. They handle it. Take care of business. Get it fixed. First thing. And people notice that. When you get somebody just flies all to pieces and runs and hides, very few people will ever come to them for advice. Okay? That's what Christ does for you when you bring him into your life. You've got stability. You're on the solid rock. You're not shaken. And you know where to go to get the answers if you don't know the answer. His word. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Always be careful where you walk. You might step on something, all right? Or in something. Be careful. What it means is put this in gear. Okay, put your mind in gear and think something through. We live in a generation that have through psychology, have used the phrase politically correct. Okay, what that means is turn your brain of common sense off and think as we want you to. All right? Never say anything that offends anybody. Even if it's your worst enemy, you can't say, God bless America, because it might offend that little one. Do you know what I say to that little one? Get out of here. If I want to say, God bless America, and it offends you, this is my territory, even whether it's my house, out in my yard, my nation. I don't care where I'm standing. If I want to say God bless America, there ain't nobody going to stop me, regardless of what they might believe, think, or otherwise. I fought and shed blood for their right to believe whatever they want to, but don't try to push it off on me, okay? That's kicking your mind out of gear and letting somebody take you over. It ain't going to happen, friend. No, never in a true American. We have a free nation, and the majority rules, and that's how it should be. That does not take the dignity away from any individual, race, color, creed, or whatsoever. All right? We're united. You do your thing, I'll do mine. You keep your dignity, I'll keep mine if it's different than mine, if you know what I mean. Okay? I'm talking about various religions and how they teach and think, hey, it's all right with me. Okay? It's not your business to convert everybody in the world, only those that God crosses your path with, all right? Then you plant the seed, and you're responsible to do that. Well, we took a side trip, didn't we? Some people call that digression. Well, maybe so. 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. They have been for a long time, beloved. Ever since Christ walked the earth and Satan's evil spirits have roamed the earth, and it's getting more so in this generation. So, walk carefully. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear, because God has given you power over all of your enemies in His name. I mean, you are head honcho when it comes to entities that are evil. Make them be afraid of you. Why? You have the authority in Christ's name. Okay? Verse 17 to complete our reading in this chapter. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do you know what the will of the Lord is? He told you in this letter. That's why it's important that we study it, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby we know His will. That brings His blessing, and you are not acceptable, you are well-pleasing. You light up His day. You really please Him. It delights Him. And do you know why He created you? Last verse of chapter 4 of Revelation, for His pleasure. So if you don't give Him pleasure, you're in trouble, friend. Big trouble. Because you're not going to receive any blessings. It's that simple. But I don't like for the fact that when you work with Him, for Him, and in Him, and love Him as a dear child, it makes His day. Not just acceptable, that'll do, that'll get by. No, it is well-pleasing, good, honorable. And again, making His day at this time is especially important, because there's not all that many people that do. Unfortunately, most Christians are gimme, 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 God. Okay? I'm just a realist, okay? Half of the people, I shouldn't say half, but about half, or all the only time they talk to God is when they want something or they're in trouble. Oh, God, they can hit their knees then and say, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble again. And He said, well, what's new? Okay? So, talk to Him every day. I'm going to tell you something. You should, especially at every meal. You know? I mean, He created what brought that food on your table. You may have worked to get it there, and the dear hands might have prepared it. But God created all things, the soil that it grew from, and so on and so forth. And you want to thank Him. It makes His day. And what does it take? Don't write out some written thing. If you're having taters, just say, God, thank you for these taters. Okay? If you're just having beans, say, God, thank you for these beans. They're sure good. I'm sure I can smell them cooking, and they're good. And I love you, and I just want you to help me. I got to get in some more cattle here today and so forth. Just be with me as I'm doing that. Just talk to Him, okay? Don't He doesn't like written prayers necessarily. He wants you to just be open with him like a child, a dear child would. And he finds that pleasing. He loves you for it. It makes his day. So think about it. Not just acceptable, but well pleasing. Well done, my good and faithful servant. It's good when you help your father. He's certainly going to help you. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's that word again, acceptable. It'll pass. That'll get you by. No, that's not what it says. Well-pleasing. Making his day. Bringing down blessings from him. You know, I like to know what God is thinking, don't you? And you lose it if you're not careful, if you don't check out the manuscripts. You're not really going to know what God is really thinking and saying. And to me, that's a big step, all right? Is the difference between favorable to well-pleasing, great, good stuff, all right? That we can handle it. Makes my day, all right? Well, that's what he's saying here. Present yourself that way. A living sacrifice. Do you know that's the only sacrifice there's going to be in the millennium? No more of this burnt animal stuff after Christ, as it's written in Hebrews 10, paid the price for one and all times. He did. No more of that. The living sacrifice is you. And what does he want you to sacrifice? Your love. I said, your love. That's what he wants. Documentation, you've got a right to ask for it. Because I don't have a set of deacons telling me what I can and can't preach. Okay, so I let everybody have the right to question what I teach and ask for documentation. Documentation on that is Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your grace, which is to say your love. That's what I want from you. That's what, why? You're his child. What do you want from your child? Bunch of burnt meat? Greasy stuff? I think not. He wants your love. Okay, you're the sacrifice. Sacrifice love. Sacrifice him to where you're loving him enough that it is sacrificial and you'll be a lot better off. Using common sense, of course, I would say. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. How are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, and here it is again, acceptable and perfect will of God. That word acceptable again is well-pleasing, fantastic, good. It'll get the job done, okay? How do you do that? How do you know God's will? By knowing his plan. Hey, he told you everything he's going to do. Jesus would say in Mark 13, I have foretold you all things. Told you about the Antichrist coming first, what you're supposed to do about it, how you're to handle it. But you don't. He said, don't worry. I'll take care of it. There's nothing can bother you as long as you'll use common sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There's nothing will ever happen to you that isn't common to everyone. Could happen to anybody. And at the same time, I will never tempt you with more than you can handle, and I will always give you a way out. Always. That's a promise of his to you. So you don't have to worry about what's coming and whether you can cut it or not. Of course you can. You can be bold in it. Why? Hey, God is your father. And he finds you well-pleasing when you meet these credentials, okay? And that's his plan. And you know, if you're any trooper at all, if you want to participate at all, you would certainly want to know what it is God would have you do, right? Verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," that means sane, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In other words, you can't say, "Boy, I'm one fantastic preacher. I mean, I can really lay it on the sinners, all right? I like to make them sinners squirm, and God gave me the ability to do it." But what you want to remember, the Irish is kicking in here, so I'll switch this over a little bit, okay? What it is, God gives the gift. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me or any other teacher of God's Word. Can't claim it. It's a gift from Him, okay? So that way God will give you what you can handle. You know, it works the same way with life. God wants to bless all of His children. He owns everything in the world. But He's not going to give $1 million to a fool that's going to let some wise guy beat him out of it right around the corner. He's not going to give you more than you can take care of. I used to have an old boy that come to church here, and he said, "It makes me mad every time you say that." You know, I said, "Hey, it's the truth." You know, it's there's one born every minute, I guess, right? Or something. Or like, don't ever listen to these people that'll say, "You want to invest in an offshore project?" "What do you mean, partner?" "Well, you want to send your money over the waves?" If you ever send your money over the waves, it's gone, friend. Okay. Now I'm teasing a little bit too. Don't ever bet on another man's trick, okay? And don't ever invest in something that you don't know what you're doing. All right, that's foolish. Know your business. Then you're going to lose often enough that way by knowing what you're doing. Back to the word. Speaking from experience, Murray? Well, maybe. we've all been there, all right? Tires go flat occasionally. Okay. Verse 9. Let love, be without dissimulation. Let it be real. Don't fake love. Boy, that's a bad thing, okay? Real bad. Let it be real. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. 10, to complete our reading here. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Preferring would better translate, lead the way. If you've got the gift, lead out. You know, he lets the body do different things, lead different things. Different people do different things. And it all comes together, and it's successful, and it has God's blessings, okay? That's not just church. I don't want you to just think church. That's in your family. That's in your home. It's your life, okay? That it all comes together, and He blesses and upholds. And when you walk in the love of a dear child, and you know the kind of people you're dealing with, family, but still walk carefully, okay? Because you're always going to, there's evil in the world, and you're going to have imposters that will slip in. You can spot them a mile away, okay? You don't have to worry about it, because God gives you discernment. You know it. But hey, always, let's say if it's the church, be patient, convert them, okay? I love it, okay? I love to convert someone that is sent to destroy and then send them back on the bear, okay? It's fun, all right? Really good. That tells whether you really have the gift or not. Now, But let that be in your family, where your family can share that love, enjoy that love, and like it said, don't simulate something. The simulation. Let it be real. Don't simulate anything. That's to say, I'm talking family now. Let your love be real and genuine. Do you know something? Do you know what the most powerful thing in the world is? Is love. Okay? I mean love. A king will take off with an army and defeat a whole nation and rip off a pretty necklace in the treasury of the other king, bring her back. Do you think he's going to give it to the soldiers that help him fight? No. He's going to give it to sweet mama when he gets home, because he loves her. Okay? Love is powerful. You can't buy it. You can't force it. It just happens. Well, how does it happen? Nobody knows. You love somebody because you love them. And sometimes you love somebody that you wish you could kick it out of gear. Okay? Well, it don't work that way. Love is down deep and it's there, and that's the way it goes. So don't be afraid to share love. It's not showing weakness, but power, strength. I scared that boy. It's real power. And it's strength, and it'll get the job done. So never forget to tell your mate that you love them. All right? Okay. How are we doing here? Well, we're doing good. Okay, let's go on to 14, and maybe I'll cut this one a little bit short. Chapter 14 in Romans, okay? I'm sorry. Romans, same book. Every once in a while you get a weak person, and God's telling you, when you're strong, be strong, and kind of take care and walk in love, okay? This is going to have a little bit to do with food laws, but I wanted to bring it in. Let's just read verse 1 of chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't judge him. Like, maybe it's just a brand new baby Christian. And let's say that, well, let's go one more verse. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another, who is weak, eateth herbs. What this is talking about, it's only talking about the meats God has created for consumption. Okay? Now, and what Paul would say in another place, just to make this shorter, is some old boy comes along and he sees, maybe he's a vegetarian, and it's offending him because you got a big old ribeye steak from the Texas Steakhouse, all right? Right there in front of you, and he's watching. It's offending him, okay? Well, don't drive him totally away or cause him to lose his confidence in you. Give the steak to me. Okay. Okay. But anyway, let's use it in a little different way, as it is in a different place. Let's say that some other religion dedicated this church to this steak, rather, to an idol. And then barbecued that thing, and the juices are running. I mean, that ribeye looking good, okay? And he sets that down. Well, you know an idol is nothing. It's a chunk of wood. Doesn't matter that he dedicated it to it. It doesn't amount to anything. An idol is nothing. So to a real person of God, God created that animal. And God created that ribeye steak, okay? And it's good. So, but if there happens to be a baby Christian there and you start eating that in front of him when it was dedicated to an idol and it offends him, don't do it, okay? That's what this will basically say, but I want to get to my word acceptable in this particular chapter. Now, that's what's coming down here. Skip all the way down to the 15th verse of this 14th chapter. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? That means with the rule of love. Charity is love. You want to walk always with that rule of love. Love is power. Okay? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, don't let food destroy a Christian, all right? It's not worth it. Right? It's just, it's two different things, totally. 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. I mean, it would in that new person cause doubt. Don't let it. 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 18, for he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Here's our word again. Now let's read it right. You are estos, estos, okay, in the Greek. I'll read it that way. For he that is in these things serveth Christ and is well-pleasing to God and approved of men. Well-pleasing. He's happy with you. He's going to pour his blessings out on you because of that. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. 20. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. In other words, it would be evil for you to eat if someone's had a load placed on them by God. To that baby's going to be a preacher, sure enough. With a voice like that, he's going to be go far. Okay, it's great. I thank our Father for the young. But some people have a conviction for one reason or the other placed by God, and don't ever let that offend you. All right. God knows his business, win, lose, but making it to heaven is a lot more important than having to lose weight, okay? It's just to food, eat, drink. Don't ever let that throw someone off the trail to what is solid, and that is to say, what's in your mind, your love for God, that is well-pleasing to him. Because when you're well-pleasing to him, again, it makes his day. Now let me ask you something. If one of your children or a friend really proves to you that they really care about you, and they do something that goes the extra mile, and it well-pleases you, what are you going to do about it? You're going to be super nice to them. In other words, you're going to see that you're going to do something special for them, all right, or something of that nature. Do you think God, it won't? That's why it's important that you be well-pleasing to God. He can't help himself from saying, oh, dear child. And he takes you in his arms, your soul, and he holds you. And he says, I just want to bless you because you sure earned it. That's why it's important. That's why it's important to know the difference, that God loves you, especially when you are well-pleasing to him. It doesn't take much. Just doing it his way instead of the ways of the world. That's the way he likes it. That's what he created you for, is to be well-pleasing to him. Now, in conclusion, as we go here, I've got one. Turn on with 2 Corinthians real quickly here. I'm going to speed this up. 2 Corinthians, let's go with chapter 5. This has to do with where the dead are. Chapter 5, verse 5, and I begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And what it's saying here is we got two houses. We got this flesh house, but we've also got a spiritual house, speaking of bodies. Got it? Okay? Your spiritual house, though it dwells inside this flesh house, is with you forever if you make it. Okay? Verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Do you know what that word earnest is? When you make a down payment on something, what is that? That's earnest money, right? Well, that's what this is talking about. It's a legal term, and it means that you're a guarantee, all right? The earnest of the Spirit, it's a guarantee of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I mean, in these flesh bodies, you can't enter heaven. Flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. But your spirit body can, okay? Why? It's a different dimension. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't have to see the angels just above our heads as Elisha showed the armor bearer when they defeated the enemy in the Old Testament. 8, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Every Christian, in a way, kind of looks forward to that time. And you want to go to heaven, right? It's that simple. You want to be with God, our Father. 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. There's that word again. See? That we may be well-pleasing to Him. That's what the Greek word means. Why? Because when you're well-pleasing, it's not just, that's okay, that's acceptable, that'll do. No, it's well-pleasing. He loves you tremendously when you follow His word. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's up to you, okay? I hope you don't have any bad by your name. You know why? It's too easy to get it erased. All you have to do is repent. And you've got a brand new page. And you don't have to answer for it then. You don't repent for it, you're going to answer for it. There's no excuse to have any bad whatsoever on that page. When you can't con God, don't misunderstand, don't think I'm giving you a license to sin. But when we do fall short, because we're not perfect, repent. Get that erased off of there, and then you're only judged for good. That means reward, payday, okay, for the good that you have done in pleasing Him. Now, to conclude, and I really mean that, go to the book of Hebrews. I mean it this time. I'm going to stick with it. Chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews is very important. It has to do with you running the race in a cloud, which is a figure of speech saying a whole bunch of people, for the finish line. And he talks about, in verse 15 of chapter 12, Hebrews, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's such an important verse if you love God, okay? What do you do when some root of bitterness springs up in your house, your family? I don't know, haven't you got a hoe? I mean, don't let it spring up. What happens when you get a little Bermuda grass and you say, well, I got a little sprig of Bermuda over here in my flower bed? Next time you come by, what happens? You don't have a little sprig of Bermuda grass. Darn, it took it over. Okay? Nip it in the bud. When evil sprouts up in your family, take care of it. Either you or somebody is wrong, or someone else is wrong. Get it fixed, okay? And don't let it tarry. I mean, nip it in the bud. Take care of it, all right? 16, lest there be any fornicator, that's pronos, or that's a male prostitute, what it means in the Greek, all right? Women get a bad rap for saying, not harlot. Well, this is calling Esau a harlot, all right? Male prostitute. It was Esau who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He sold out everything, okay? Now, skip with me all the way. I just wanted to get that said there so we understand we're talking about the end time here. All right, right down to the wire. Verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. In other words, Abel's blood cried out from the ground for vengeance for Cain. Okay. Christ's blood from the cross gives you advice, freedom, so forth. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, being Christ. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, that being Moses, given the law, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, which is to say, Christ at the right hand of God, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. That's when he shakes out Satan, okay? Throws him down here to earth as Antichrist. It's coming, friend. It's going to happen. You can count on it. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. I don't know, how tight are you latched on? Can you be shaken off? How's your mind doing? Are you wired into him? Or if he really shakes, can you be shaken? You know, I've seen people that get shook pretty easy. You know, I sure wouldn't want to go into combat with them. We in the Marine Corps, we always culled those boys out long time before we got to the field. Okay. Well, what are you talking about? Well, be in Christ and you can't be shaken, all right? We're tough nuts with him. We're on the rock. It won't shake. You have power over all your enemies, so what would you be worried about? Something happens in your family, nip it. Handle it. You see, I mean, we're winners in his word. Okay? So you're not shaken. As of things that are made, that God created, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's all that's going to remain at this next shaking, is those that are on the rock, which is to say Christ. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, love, whereby we may serve God acceptably. It means not just getting by. Serve him well-pleasingly with reverence. That's love and godly fear. That's to respect him, for God is a consuming fire. And he is. He's in control. There's no need in you losing. No need in you taking a wrong path. You've got the road map. And you have the word, his word, your father's word. You love your father and follow him. Listen to him from his word. Strengthen your family and find the comfort and peace of mind that it feels like when you are well pleasing to him and he touches you. He leads you and he guides you. Why? Because you're well-pleasing to him. He can't help himself for reaching out and gathering you in. That's the kind of Father we serve. In the fact that he's an all-consuming fire, that fire is the warmth of the Holy Spirit that you feel when he does touch you. To something evil, it burns. That's why you don't have to worry. He's your Father. Stay in his word. Stay in him. Stay on the rock. That won't shake, and you're going to do just fine. Be well pleasing to your Father. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Be with us this day. Be with our troops, Father. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation.